Hey, do you want to live a more joy-filled life? Of course, who doesn't, right? Now, if you want to live a more joy-filled life, we know that that means you have to be a joy-filled person, that you identify as a joy-filled person. And in order for you to identify as a joy-filled person, you also need to have the habits of a joy-filled person. So we're going to be talking all about that on the show today because we have a special guest who does identify as a joy-filled person, who other people see as a joy-filled person, and she's here to tell us all about the ways that she has changed her identity to become this kind of person and the habits that she has in her life, and they're so good. Can't wait for you to hear it. So let's just get right to it. Here we go. On the show today, we have Katie Hedrick. She made an appearance already on the Intentional Mind podcast on episode 29, where we talked about morning routines. She is a mom, she is an intentional living coach, and she works with stressed out women to help them gain clarity and confidence in who they are and who God made them to be. She's the host of the podcast, Stepping Into a Joy-Filled Life. And her motto is grow in wisdom, walk in freedom, and live a joy-filled life. Now, I brought Katie on the show because I know that a lot of us, all of us that are listening, want to live a joy-filled life. And sometimes it can be hard to do that, especially if you are surrounded with a lot of negativity or you're just dealing with a lot of unpredictability in your life. So, Katie, I know that you identify as a joy-filled person, a joy-filled mama, a joy-filled lover of Christ, all of that. And other people see you as this person that is joy-filled. But I am assuming that you haven't always been this person that is filled with joy. So I want to hear a little bit about like who you used to be and how you got to be and identify as the joy-filled person that you are now.
Absolutely. Before we dive into that, I have to tell you, Angela, that I am so excited and honored to be here today because your podcast is one of my very favorites. It's in the top of my playlist each and every week, and I'm so grateful to have connected with you and to get to share on your show today. So yes, today I am a joy-filled mama, a lover of Jesus. I live every day with intention and passion and joy, but it definitely has not always been that way. So my story really begins at 5 years old. My parents walked through divorce and it left me in this place of just brokenness and confusion. And I really stayed in that space for quite a lot of years, honestly, all throughout high school. I would paint my fingernails black and I would date these bad boys. I was like trying to fix them or save them, right? And it even like manifested physically for me. Like I would have these stomach aches every morning before school and I was just a broken mess. I was trying to fix people on the outside. And I look back as like, I really was just desperately trying to fix myself somehow through all of that by helping someone else. And it really was just a broken, wild mess. And so when I was 19, I was on a cruise ship headed to Mexico, my freshman year of college. I ended up meeting the man that I would marry, Chad, and he was so different than any other guy I had ever dated. Like he actually kind of had his life together. He was 9 years older than me. He had an established business and he treated me with honor. And he was just a kind-hearted, patient, loving person. And so we did end up getting married when I was 20 years old. And I had this thing in my head that when we got married, that it would somehow magically fix everything, all the brokenness inside of me, all my past would just magically melt away. All of a sudden, I would feel peace about everything my family had walked through. And I was shocked to discover that was not the case. So here I was at 20 years old, and I'm still dragging along all this brokenness and all this junk from my past into my marriage. And so needless to say, it was a fairly rough several first years of marriage. Chad was so patient and so kind with me in that. And I began to just really dig down deep. And, you know, I knew about God through all these years, but I did not yet have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I began to really just take a look at my life and say, man, there's got to be more to this. Like I desperately want to have a great marriage. I want to be a great mom. We had a couple of kids at this point. Like I want to feel peace and freedom. And I don't know how to get there. I don't know what to do. And so in 2011, I actually connected with a mentor, a life coach, and I began to learn about the power of forgiveness and honor and gratitude. And I began to learn what it looked like to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I began to actually open my Bible and read it. And I began to cry out to God in prayer. And in the middle of a February night in 2012, I was 26 years old. We were two babies in at this point, middle of the night. God woke me up in the middle of the night and just the Holy Spirit just poured over me and spoke to my heart. And it was like God was saying, Katie, who you are is my daughter. You're my child. And I never left you for 1 minute of those hard things that you walked through. And in fact, if you hadn't walked through those hard things, you wouldn't be where you are today. You wouldn't have your husband laying beside you. You wouldn't have your kids. You wouldn't have the life and the future that I have laid out for you. And he's like, just give me your heart. Give me your heart and the permission to walk you into the good future that I have for you. And so at 26 years old, in the middle of that cold February night, as I'm sitting up in bed, I just began weeping and I gave the Lord my heart, my past, my present, and the permission to lead me into a future that was good. And I want to point out that it wasn't like life was perfect after that. It wasn't like every day was easy after that, because we're promised that there will be hills and valleys in this life, but God promises to walk through that hard stuff with us, and he promises to use it for good. Right? He walks us through those hard things to refine us and to draw us closer to him. And so, you know, it's like life was not perfect and it won't be perfect here on this earth, but that's the night where I found peace and freedom and this unspeakable, like just abundant joy that refills itself, because that joy really does come from the Lord. And so that's where I'm at today, is just sharing that joy and that freedom with other women and helping them to have that same thing in their own lives.
I love everything that you just said, because I see so much wisdom in your story. And I know that a lot of people listening can relate to those times where we felt really down, and we can probably see how our childhood and things that have happened have led us to show up in certain ways. And I know even when I look back in my past and like things that I've done, I'm like, what the heck? Like, what were you thinking? But I can see where I went through the same thing. Like, I came from a family of divorce. There was a lot of instability, and I found myself in crappy relationships. And I just am like, who, like, Lord, please have my daughter be different than I was when I was like younger at that age, you know? But yes. I didn't, I mean, I was dealing with, I don't want to ever blame anything, but I want to say that it makes sense that all the things that I've done, like in my past where I showed up in ways that I wouldn't sit here and say I'm really proud of, it makes sense though. Not that it's okay, but it made sense given like the instability that I had in my life, how I was seeking something like outside of me, you know, to bring me joy. And I think a lot of the work that you do now is really helping people tap into they're really like strengthen their relationship with God. And as you said, it's a personal relationship with God. It really is. And you know what it might look like to me or you, it may be different, but you know what that relationship is. And I think I truly believe that if you want to feel joy and like purpose in your life, you have to have a personal relationship with God. I mean, 100%. I don't see how it could be any other way. I mean, I'm telling you, the people that I see that are the most fulfilled and the most happy, they have faith. They believe that they, and the reason, because they have faith, when they go through these hard, challenging times, they make it mean something good. Like you were saying earlier, like everything can be used for good. And when they believe that in their own mind, they hold on to that thought, it changes how they feel. It changes how they respond to situations. But that stems from first having a faith in the first place.
Totally agree. And I love how you just speak about relationship, because one of the things that I kind of get on a soapbox about this, but it's like relationship over religion. It's like understanding who we are in Christ. Like, it's not about, am I Catholic? Am I Baptist? Am I Pentecostal? Whatever, whatever. Like, there's really no need to slap any kind of label on it. At the end of the day, what it comes down to is that God sent his son Jesus to die for you because he loves you so much, right? We're a messed up people. We were in desperate need of a savior. And God the Father is a good father. And he loves us so much that he made a way. He opened the door for us to spend eternity with him because he loves us. And so knowing our identity is in him as his child, as his beloved kingdom daughter, and that we can go to him with anything, with any problem, with any emotion, with anything that we're dealing with. And like, he's there for us like a good father, like a parent, like a mama with her child. That's where it's at. That's where it gets really good.
Yeah, definitely. And even thinking about yourself as a daughter of God or son of God. And like, I like to sometimes just like read like about like who God says I am and like have those as my own personal mantras.
Yeah.
You know, so and I feel like your I am statements, like just like, you know, I am loved, I am supported, I am whatever, like those kinds of thoughts like really serve you when you are going through hard things. And like, speaking of that, like I've had a lot of people ask me, how do I stay positive when I am in a situation where I'm just around a lot of negativity, whether that be at work or with my family or whatever? So what is your advice for them?
Okay, this is such a great question. So I want to preface this by saying that realistically, sometimes there is going to be negativity around us, right? It's the world in which we live. And sometimes we might even be like feeling that on a really deep level. And it is actually okay to feel that way. I am not here to tell you to stuff your feelings or your emotions, because sometimes we actually do need to sit in that for just a bit, right? And you probably heard of toxic positivity, where someone falsely believes that life should be 100% sunshine and rainbows 100% of the time. And unfortunately, because we do live in a fallen world, that is not the case. So I do just want to make note of that. But the incredible thing is that there is always hope. The Bible says that joy comes in the morning. And I love this scripture, Psalm 30:11. It says, "You have turned my mourning into dancing. You've removed my sackcloth and covered me with joy," right? We know that that joy can come in the morning. And I found that life is this series of hills and valleys. It's like cyclic almost. But we can find hope in knowing that there's always a hilltop or a mountaintop season, so to speak, coming up in our future. And I think that when we get really honest with ourselves, we can always see, no matter what situations we're in or no matter what's going on around us, if we take a really honest look at our own life, we can really see that the good truly does outweigh the bad. I would dare to say 100% of the time. If you laid this all out on a sheet of paper, all the things in your life and things that are around you that are going on, the good outweighs the bad. Like if you're on this side of the dirt, girl, the good outweighs the bad today, mm-hmm. right? And so when you're in the midst of all the negativity, here's your permission to feel that for just a little bit, but then you have a choice to make. You can either choose to stay stuck in that place, or you can choose to step forward on that, beyond that, and out of that. And if you don't want to be in that place of negativity, and I don't know many people who would honestly like to stay in that place, and you are ready to step out of that and to embrace more of the positivity in your life, which it's a much better place to be, I promise you that. There are a few tangible things that you can do that I want to share with you. So all of these things I've personally done, and I continue to do them actually in my own life. So one of the things is look for and create the joy. So when I say look for the joy, the thing is that you'll find what you're looking for. And I have to share this quick story. I've shared this before on my podcast, but when I was 19, I moved into this little basement apartment, which was great. It was a cute, tiny little basement apartment, but there was one really big problem. There were these giant slugs. You heard me right. Like 3-inch slugs. And they were everywhere, girl. They were on the walls. They were on the door, the floor, the ceiling, as I'm in this basement apartment. And guess what I noticed? As I began to look for them, I began to find more of them. And I'm like, this is so applicable in life. Like, we find what we're looking for, right? Mm-hmm. Totally. And so being conscious of what you're looking for the joy, and then creating the joy, like actually getting out there and doing things that bring you joy, creating the joy. I know you always talk about sparking joy. What sparks joy for you? So one example, my family last year during COVID on Father's Day, we wanted to get out of the house, but you couldn't go into any restaurants. So we had called ahead and ordered tacos from this little taco spot that we just love. And we went, we're in my car, we pick up the tacos, we decide we're going to get out and eat at the picnic table outside. So we're sitting there, my family of five, we're eating our tacos. All of a sudden, out of absolutely nowhere, it starts downpouring. And it was just crazy and messy and beautiful and funny and fun and like so much joy in that, because I'm laughing. I take off running to the car. My husband and my daughter, bless their heart, they're like trying to pick up our trash. I'm just like out of there. I'm just rolling and dying laughing. One of my boys, he's like dancing in the rain. And then my littlest guy, for some reason, he goes running in the opposite direction. He went running under the overhang of the restaurant, and I'm sitting in the car at this point laughing, and I look over and my littlest, he's like 5 or 6 at the time. He's like, somebody help me.
That's so cute.
Right. And we just all look back at that and laugh and find joy in that now. So we're very intentional about doing things and creating moments, creating joy, creating those special moments together that spark joy for us. Another thing we can do is surround ourselves with positive influence instead of negative influence. So I'm a huge believer in what I call your five tribe. This is just the term I came up for with it. But the bottom line is that we become like the five people that we surround ourselves with the most. And I mean, this is like 100% accuracy. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future, right? Mm-hmm. So consider the people that you're spending time with. What do their lives look like? Are they living intentional, joy-filled lives? Yes or no? Are they living the type of life that you want to live? Like, is their marriage joy-filled? Are their children joy-filled, right? Do they love their work? Do they complain a lot? Like, we need to take a look at that, because we're going to become like those people. And then we got to think about the other influences too, like media, social media, the news, all these things. And maybe we can talk a little bit more about this in, you know, as we're going on with the interview, but it's just something really important to consider, is that we actually surround ourselves and put ourselves in a positive environment, because we do have some power, some control over that, right? And then the last thing I just want to mention is seeking the lesson and growing from it. So when we are in that situation where there's some negativity around us, or maybe even in our own life, if we're in a valley season, if there are trials in our life, right? Because they will come. I just want to encourage you to seek the lesson. Everything, in everything that we walk through, it holds either a blessing or a lesson. So seek the lesson and then choose to grow from it. Because like I mentioned before, our negative experience could positively affect somebody else's life, right? The best way to really improve our own life when we're walking through hard things is viewing it through the lens in, how can this help somebody else? How can I grow from this? How is God going to use this for good?
Oh, I love all of this. So I'm like over here taking all of the notes. And so the first thing I wrote down was, joy comes in the morning. And I love this quote in the Bible. I love just telling myself this, because even if I feel like I'm having a rough day, I just feel like I always get the opportunity to hit the reset button, you know, and like there's a new, there's going to be tomorrow, there's going to be the morning. And for me, it's like even when I see the sunrise, I love like watching the sunrise, being out there with my coffee, like, especially now since it's been warmer here, I've been going out on the porch and I just like love it. It brings me so much joy, because I feel like it represents like this new beginning, and we can start over. Even if like the day before I like got an argument with my husband about something, I don't like to call them arguments, but we disagreed on something and then I'm like, ooh, I could have handled that a little bit better. And then like the next morning comes and I'm like, oh, it's a new day. And he wakes up and I'm like, hi honey, love you, give you a kiss, I'm sorry about last night. Especially because we do this thing like after 8 p.m like it's just better that we just don't talk about like big decisions or anything like that, because then we like start to disagree, especially when we're like really tired. And that's another thing to point out, is like noticing your energy and when being intentional about when you do things based on how you're feeling energetically, because you might need to take that time, like you were saying, like to be in it, to feel that energy, but then it's your choice if you want to stay there. So it's never an issue if you go there, go to those lower states, because we're humans and this is a part of life that we're going to have down times. It's more of a challenge. Like I say it's an issue when you choose to stay there, because like joy is a choice. You get to choose to find the joy and see the things you can focus on, like the slugs in life, and you will find more of those, right? Or yes. You can focus on the other good things. Like, they're all there, but you have to tell your brain what to focus on. And that goes back to, like, the science around your reticular activating system. You know, I've talked about this before, but, like, how your brain works, it wants you to tell it what to focus on. So tell it to look for the joy. Create your own joy-filled opportunities. If you're like, well, I'm in a crappy situation, what do you mean joy? Like, then you create your own joy opportunities, just like you did with you guys having, in a sense, that taco picnic out there. And it was funny that it rained and all that. And it brought a lot of joy to you guys because you sought out a new experience. And I was just listening to my podcast episode around adding more fun into your life. And like, yeah, sometimes I literally go, I do listen to my podcast episodes because I'm like, oh, like, I feel like I need to be reminded of things like the fun yes. stuff. So it's yes. funny. I was listening to that episode and like, it was talking about how you can spark dopamine for yourself by adding new experiences and doing something different to you. And I loved how you did that because I hear a lot of people, especially with during the COVID times when people were like, but it sucks because I can't get out, can't do anything. I can't. And like, they're focused on all what they can't do and what sucks instead of being like, I am in control of my life. Like, I can create joy in my life. I can add that. I can add new experiences wherever I am. And anything new and exciting, the brain likes that because that's releasing dopamine and that's going to make you feel good. So you gave that perfect example of doing that with like the tacos and all of that. And then I liked how you talked about the five tribe. I like that you call it that because it makes me think about like, who am I spending the most time with? And do I really want to be more like them? And it also makes me think about getting some new friends in my life that do have the life that I admire and just like feeding off of that, of, you know, their energy and what they're creating and stuff and like being intentional about putting myself around that because yeah, the research shows you will be like them. I mean, that's related to everything as far as financially, mindset, health and weight, all of that. And then the last thing I wanted to point out is you saying seeking the lesson. And I think this is so important because this is a great way to shift yourself. Like when you're in a situation that you feel like just sucks, like if you ask yourself the question, what is this teaching you? Or what do you want to make this mean? Those are some of my favorite coaching questions because what it does is it gives the power back to you. And then you can find the blessing there. And you can also think like, I get to decide what I want to make this mean. And like you said, a perfect example of it earlier, like all the stuff that you went through when you had that, what I would call that divine download, you realized that like, in a sense, God was telling you like, this was happening for you. It always was. I can turn everything into good. And that's what you decided to make that situation mean. And that's yes. why you are the joy-filled person that you are today. It's all about the meaning that you continuously choose to place on the things that happen in your life.
100%. And, you know, I think it really empowers us. You used some really awesome keywords there, Angela. You talked about focus because what we focus on is what we'll create more of in our life. You talked about choice and just being empowered and knowing that we literally have a choice to make every day. Like we can choose to stay stuck in this place or we can choose to move forward, right? And grow forward. And you talked about intentionality, which I know is a huge word for both you and for me. And that is empowering. When we live our life with intentionality, it's like we're living by design instead of default. And that is very empowering.
Definitely. So I have one more question before you tell everybody, it's like, everybody where we can find you and connect with you. But the last question is, what do you think holds us back from living our full potential?
Yes, this is so good. So I call these things joy suckers. This is my term for this.
I love it.
So a big one, obviously, or should be obviously, is fear. And fear is really nothing more than us believing the lie that we should be afraid. And I personally believe that fear comes from one of three places. It either comes from the past, those things that have been spoken over us, seeds that were planted in the soil of our heart and mind, and then they grew. Those things that are spoken over us, those seeds that are planted, they grow to become either weeds or to produce good fruit. So fear can come from the past. It can also come from lies of the enemy, right? Because he is against us. He is not for us. And I also believe that fear can come from our own mind, our own imagination, these made up scenarios, because we're not puppets down here. God gives us free choice, free will, creative minds, right? And a lot of this stems from what we've consumed, the inputs of our life, like we were talking about with the five tribe, with the media, with the social media, like the fear mongering that's happening in the news is exactly what I was talking about before. That will take root in our mind and play out in these made up scenarios that cause us to be fearful. So I think that we've got to recognize these three areas where fear can come from and really claim the power over that. So I'm always saying that the best thing we can do is tell the fear to go back to hell where it came from, right? And begin to plant seeds of truth in ourselves, in the soil of our heart and mind. So for me personally, I plant those seeds of truth by using God's word. I love Romans 12:2. It's one of my favorite scriptures. It says, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." So for me personally, that's the number one way that I plant those good seeds of truth in myself, right? And that causes me to bear fruit, to take action, because we were created to be fruitful beings. We were created to take action, to have these good things stemming from and showing in our life. Because here's the truth. The Bible says that God created us as a masterpiece in his image, and that with his help, we're capable of doing good things, right? Carrying out good actions and producing good fruit. And it also says that his plan for our future is good. So when fear comes creeping up in my life, I'm like, go back to hell. This is a lie. I don't need to be afraid, because my mind has been renewed with the truth that I've found in God's word. I think another thing that can be a joy sucker for us are excuses. This is a big one. And we all deal with this, right? The lack mentality, like, I don't have the time, I don't have the ability, I don't have the resources. What will other people think of me? Oh my gosh, people are going to think I'm a weirdo if I go do this thing that I know that I'm called to do. And so we let that hold us back, right? Those past experiences, past failures, this is potentially the biggest excuse that will keep you stuck, right? Is just staying stuck in that place of your past failures, right? Choosing to not learn from that, not seek the lesson and then grow forward, but rather stay in the feelings and the emotions that we felt when we failed, and using that as an excuse to not move forward. And the thing that I found about excuses is that what they really are learned and observed behaviors. Like, I don't know that when we're born as children, I really don't believe that we automatically knew how to make excuses. I'm going to be honest. I believe we were born to be truthful and good human beings, but we observe our parents, our friends, important people, influential people in our life who are capable of doing great and amazing things. We observe them laying out excuses and staying stuck. And so we learn, like, oh my gosh, like, you know, that's where we need to be, is in this space of excuses and distractions and our past failures, because everyone around us is dwelling on their past failures and allowing that to keep them stuck from moving forward. And, you know, and here's the truth. This is how I love to handle excuses. I think about this concept of our rear view mirror and our front windshield. There is a reason that your front windshield is so much bigger than your rear view mirror. Think of your rear view mirror as the excuses, right? All these things, your past failures, all these things. If you're driving your car and you're focused on your rear view mirror, you are going to crash your car. Like, we are called to face forward, to look forward and drive that car looking through the front windshield. So here's how we do this with excuses, is we tell ourselves the true story. So as we're thinking about all these excuses that we're making, lack of time. Do I really have a lack of time, or is it that I'm scrolling through social media for 4 hours a day? And that's where my time is going, right? What are other people going to think of me? Well, what's the true story here? What other people are so absorbed in their self and what they're doing that they could care less what you're doing. Like, that's the truth about that. That one is just an ego trip. You thinking that someone else really actually cares or worries about what you're doing with your life, that's nothing but you having an ego trip. And that's a big fat excuse. Okay. The past, your past failures, right? Take a look at that. Like, what's the true story? What did you learn? You learn an important lesson. So tell yourself the true story when you're finding yourself spewing out these excuses, and then choose to move forward. And then the last thing I think on this one, on the joy suckers, is simply not investing into ourselves. Because I feel completely that the quality of our life will be directly tied to how and what and where we invest into ourselves and where we choose to grow forward. And I'm talking every area of your life, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, as a wife, as a mom, as a friend, right? All the things, all the growth. I think that not investing into ourselves is something that inevitably is going to suck the joy and the intentionality out of our life. And here's the truth on this one. You're worth it. You're worth investing into, right? I mean, you are so loved by the greatest creator. You are a masterpiece. You are priceless and valuable. You are worth investing into. And so it breaks my heart when people choose not to invest into themselves, not to grow, to become all that God created them to be, because there's so much there to tap into. We just simply need to invest into growing to do that, whether it's digging into the scripture, attending, you know, seminars, listening to audiobooks, or listening to podcasts just like this one, which, friend, if you are listening to Angela's podcast, then you're already a step ahead of a lot of people here. So I just want to end this by saying that I encourage you to commit to investing into yourself and really going after all the things that will bring you joy and help you to live out your full potential with great intention.
Oh, amen. I'm going to say that because I've seen too where a lot of people, they believe this lie that they're not good enough, or if they do invest in something, they're not going to follow through, or they're it's not going to be worth it. And these are all lies. And I think how do we know when you say like focus like on the truth? Like, how do we know something is a lie? I think is like if it generates fear for you, like when you're thinking that, because fear is a lie. Like, you know, it says constantly throughout the Bible, like, do not fear. And I always have to remind myself of, especially when I'm doing, you know, that the whole fear around what other people think, like when I'm doing these speaking events and things like that, and I step up there and I get scared, like most people do when they're standing in front of a room that's going to judge them, or even just even a small public speaking thing, even interviews. And I always remind myself of like the quote, Isaiah 41:10. I have it right here. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I always have to remind myself, like, God is with me. Like, anywhere I go, when I step into this environment, I do not need to fear, because he's going to be with me. He's going to support me. And that always comforts me to believe that truth is what I would say it is. And I know you would say that too. So I took some notes based on what you said because it was so good. So just to summarize for people, the things that might be holding you back from living your full potential, from living this joy-filled life, this abundant life that God has for you, that he promises for you, is this. I think choosing fear and choosing, because you choose joy, right? You choose faith, and we also choose fear. So choosing fear and identifying with it, oh, this makes me, I get so bothered when I hear people say like, well, they like say things like, I'm an anxious person. And it's like, don't identify as that, you know, like, because once you start identifying as that, then you will look for more ways to be that. And this is why people that are listening know I'm always talking about identity-based goals and getting clear around who you want to be, what kind of person you want to be, and start speaking the truth in your own mind that you are that person, because it all starts in the mind. And then the other thing that holds people back is what they choose to listen to, what they choose to consume, and how that affects them. Like we talked about the media, putting yourself around people that are negative speaking. I was just talking to a friend recently who she used to identify as someone that was never like a churchgoer. And she says this, like, you know me, Ange, like, I've never been that person that was like all into that. But now I found this church and I have this sense of community and they're like normal people. That's what she always says. They're like real people. And they like, some of them, they swear and they like, you know, and it's like, it's just funny because I hear people say that all the time. And so anyways, she's like, I found this group. And before I was hanging out with these people, she's like, I was hanging out with another group of people. And even the women, when I would get around with them, they would trash talk their husbands like the entire time. And she's like, then I found myself doing that. And she's like, that's not who I want to be. I don't want to identify as that kind of person. I want to be the person that's speaking about the things I like about people, the things that I love about my marriage. And then you will find more ways, like more things that you love about your marriage. And that will lead to you having a more happy and fulfilled marriage because of what you're choosing to focus on. So another thing I wrote down was the excuses. Oh my goodness. So many people have these excuses for, you know, why they can't do things. And it all, like we said earlier, boils down to believing this lie that you're not good enough, that you don't, you won't follow through, or you're not worth it. It really boils down to that. So if there's one thought that I, or one, like, I guess, affirmation that, or even just think of it as a prayer for yourself that you could tell yourself every day, is I am good enough. And that's how I start. I do these affirmations for myself every day. And the first one and the last one is always, it's like a sandwich. Like I have all my stuff in between, but I start with I am good enough and I end with I am good enough, because I've seen everything gets boiled down to people believing that they're not good enough. And it's the number one lie that is out there and told to us, and that we're not worthy. And like that we don't have a seat at the table, you know? And it's like, believing that sometimes people believe that, oh, I can't even talk to this person because I don't know if I'm worthy enough to talk to them. And I get in my head about that too. And I know, like with you, Katie, you've probably experienced too, as entrepreneurs and as we are connecting with people that are more quote unquote successful than us, like in other ways, yes, have a bigger audience. And then that lie shows up and it's like, oh, you're not good enough to reach out to them. You're not good enough to like have a seat at their table. And it's like, that's a lie. And like, I always got to remind myself, I'm choosing to believe the truth. Like I am who God says I am.
Yes. And amen.
Okay. Yes. So good. Well, thank you so much, Katie. I love this. This was so good. Tell us where we can find you.
Yeah. So a few places, the best place is to come check out the podcast, Stepping Into a Joy-Filled Life podcast. You can find it wherever you tune into podcast or at stepintojoy.com. You can check out my website, katiehedrickcoaching.com. You can also download my free purpose guide, because I really do feel that a lot of intentional living, a lot of this comes from knowing our purpose. We were created on purpose, with purpose, for a purpose. And I feel like so many people are just trying to figure out what that is so that they can live it out. So I do have a free resource around this, and you can download it at katiehedrick.com/purpose guide. So once you nail that down, I feel like it's a lot easier to live out your life intentionally around that. And then the last place you can find me is over on Facebook. I have a free community, a free Facebook group. It's called Happy Chicks. So you can just get in Facebook and search for Happy Chicks and join the group and find me over there.
Awesome. And you're so right. I think it does start with getting clear on that purpose. Get that clarity first. And then from there, that's how you live that intentional life. So I will link in the show notes a link to that purpose guide.
All right, y'all. I hope that you enjoyed that episode. I wrote this down when Katie was talking and I wanted to share it. I wrote down, joy is my jam. And I was like, can I get this turned into a t-shirt? Because it would be cool to remind myself every day that joy is my jam. That's my thing. I show up as a joy-filled person. When you start to believe that in your mind, then you actually show up as that person. You act like a joy-filled person would, right? You look for the joy. You do things that generate the joy. So I think it's important that we all think about who we want to be and what we need to identify as so that we can show up as that person. You know, I talk about this all the time. But anyways, I also wanted to share this. I want to give a shout out to another podcast listener who left a review. And I always encourage people to do that. If you believe in this show and you like it, let us know, because it helps people find it. And this is from my girl, Kiki Swinton. And she says, this is a transformative podcast. Angela has a way of sharing information with listeners that becomes transformative because of how she makes the information so relatable. I tune in every Thursday for the new episode. Yeah, we have a new episode every Thursday. I'm so glad you're here, Kiki. You're an inspiration to me. In order for this to be a transformative podcast, like Kiki says it is, you got to go out there and you actually use this information. I literally, like I was telling Katie, I legit listened to some of these episodes. It's mostly long after the fact that I edited them because at that point I'm just like done, like ready to post this. But I go back and I listen and it reminds me. It's like I need to be reminded of these messages over and over about sparking joy in my life, finding ways to have fun, being the person that takes action that is in alignment with who I want to be, being mindful of what's coming in my mind, who I'm spending time with. Like these are things we constantly have to remind ourselves of. Right? That's what I'm trying to say. All right, guys. Thanks for being here. I hope you have an awesome day, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.